Good morning. TV football is a little bit different than it used to be. When we, I remember in that, what is around 1970, when the rumor was out that they'd have a football game on a Monday night. And the first time, and Joe Namath was there playing in Cleveland. If any of you remember that, I was there. I saw it. It was great. And Monday night football was special. You know, whenever Howard and all of them came to town, I remember back a few years later, it took a few years for them to come to Monday Night Football in Tulane Stadium, and it was the Saints versus the Chiefs. If you don't know that trivia there, and I finagled through some of the radio stations, and I was in and out of some of them, and I sat in the press box for that game, and security was not like it was in those days, like it is right now. You don't go anywhere, and crickety old Tulane Stadium, and it was just a mess there, and to go to the very top where the TV booth was, you had to go into the very corner and walk up some small, thin metal stairs, and there was just a box built on top of the other press box where they had the TV, where they had some of the cameras and the commentators, and I just, you know, acted like I belonged there and weaseled my way on up there. I didn't have a phone to take a picture, and I weaseled my way up there, and I climbed up those stairs, and I was at Tulane Stadium on Monday night, and right here, all of a sudden, this head turns, and Howard Cosell looks at me like as if to say, "Who are you?" And I just nodded at him and like that, and Frank Gifford was in the middle, and Dandy Don was on the other side. And I'm as close as this bush right here. So I'm standing there a while taking it all in until somebody said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Oh, I just stopped for just a minute," like that. It's a little different. And I remember later years on Sunday, you'd go and turn it. And Brent Musburger was famous for this statement when he opened up. Some of you might remember. He would say, "You're looking live." Remember that? And that made us stop and go to your Lambeau Field. "You're looking live here. You're looking live." Well, today, in the world in which we live, you are looking live. Brent says, "You're looking live." The word of the Lord says, "You are looking live right now." We're looking live at something more than a football game, something more insidious, the destruction of a culture, the destruction of a way of life. At its core, it is really a war against the message of Jesus Christ. And those who are coming against that message have been emboldened over the last few weeks and the last few months. Just a few weeks ago, our geniuses in Washington gave these people $6 billion for humanitarian aid. To finance terror as we see it today. When we say you're looking live, it's not the 60s anymore. In fact, in the 1960s, when we talked about the threat was there, but now the threat is here. Things have changed. Evil is unleashed. You talk about abject evil when people break into a place and take a grandmother and video her death and put it on her Facebook so her family sees it. That's hell. It's demonic. Terror is unleashed. Babies beheaded. Oh, they're going to discuss, "Are you really sure about that?" Don't get in that minutia. Evil's not there. Evil's here. She's a U.S. congressperson. I think that's what they want to be called now. Ms. Tlaib has a Palestinian flag in front of her door in the halls of Congress. Next to a pride flag. My response, somebody asked me what you think. I said, "Such idiocy violates the very tenets of her oath of office." What is her oath of office? She raised her oath. "I solemnly do swear and affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States." Now watch this. "Against all enemies, foreign and domestic." She's a domestic terrorist, and we're paying her. 6 times she was asked about the evil killing of those babies. She'll do anything she can to undermine America. She's a domestic enemy. Congress, I wouldn't trust her with the key to the second floor bathroom, much less to be in Congress. She should be arrested. But evil has been emboldened. Just this week, a man stood in Times Square . We're done being hurt and judged. We are the correct religion. We will not stop until it enters every home. I want you to hear it in every district. Brooklyn should tremble when they hear it. They're going to mess with the Brooklyn Tabernacle, and then they're going to open a whole can of something else they don't need. The Bronx should hear it. Queens should hear it. Say it. There is no God worthy of worship except Allah. He's the God of Jesus, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, the God and the last and the final prophet, Muhammad. Hamas commander said the entire planet will be under our law. There'll be no more Jews, no more Christian traitors. Meanwhile, our leaders intentionally flood our nation. Look at those pictures. That's not women and children coming through Mexico. So the threat is not over there. The threat is here. All the more we need to be strengthened in the word and know what we believe. We should not be idle. We are witnessing, actually what we're witnessing is a collision. A collision of ideas and ideals. A collision of that which is patriotic, that which is pathetic. A collision of darkness and light. But it is really a collision between the culture of the carnal and the covenant of the living God. It's more pronounced. It's more fierce than ever. It's really based on the words of against Jesus Christ. I wrote it this way. It is abject demonic hate of his word and of the people he created. To paraphrase the book, the barbarians are not at the gate. The barbarians are already here. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Practically, we do the right things. We take care of things in the practical we know how to take care of. With our food, things like that. See, everything you're seeing, it all connects to destabilize. And what you're seeing, things that are going on right now are to distract of what's really, really going on and has been. I started making the statement about 5 years ago. Boy, I got a lot of flack on that. But I haven't backed off because it's true. Please, 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 please open your eyes. Ask the Lord to give you wisdom. We must be ready. We must be emboldened. We must be insulated because we can't be isolated. We're in the middle of it. It's here. You're looking live. We must be grounded. We're asking ourselves, who do we believe? What do we believe? When can we trust again? Where can we get the... By the way, that if you're a journalist, I used all of them if you didn't catch it. Who do we believe? What do we believe? When can we trust again? And where can we get the truth? It's all right there. I'll tell you where it is. If you stand to your feet, you are going to tell me who we can believe and what we can believe, and you're gonna, because you are looking live at the word. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. Say it again. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. Be seated. 2 weeks ago, when we talked about praise, I made this statement. I said, praise is strong. Praise is powerful. Praise can change the atmosphere. I told you I'd reconnect some of those things of the praise concept because it has everything to do with holding us during difficult times, and it all connects. And this is actually a continuation of that word. To refresh your mind, I'm going to read it quickly. Psalm 137, verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon. Now, that was not a familiar territory. Y'all, you are not in familiar territory right now, okay? By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. That was a bad move, right? Sitting down there. Yes, we wept. The word says, okay, there's a time to weep, but knock it off after a while. We're not just constantly weep. All just say, no, stop it. We wept when we remembered Zion. Now, these people had gone back and forth and actually cursed God in their lifestyle, but all of a sudden they get romantic about it, you know. People do that about church situations. They get all romantic, you know, about these things when really it's an unusual thing that doesn't quite work in our minds. It says, when we were there, we hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. Now, by the way, notice, they did not lose the song that was in their heart. They gave up the song that was in their heart. They just stopped. They hung their instruments up and sat themselves down right there because they were having a bad day. And I'm not belittling that. It was more than just a bad day. They were in captivity. This was awful. but they surrendered to it. And the next verse says, for there. What do you mean there? For in that strange place, in that strange place, that's verse 3. In that strange place, it says, those who carried us away captive asked for a song, and those who plundered us requested mirth. How, that's some nerve. Let me hear y'all sing. That was pretty nervy. Sing one of those songs from Zion. They knew who they were. They loved what they heard. They loved even what they felt. They wanted the blessing of their God, but they did not want their God. Now, this is a problem right now. People want the good feeling of church situation, but they do not want the God that demands certain things of our lives. We dealt with the concept of holiness last week. That's a very difficult thing, and people are going back and forth. They replied, how are we going to sing in a strange land, strange people around? And as I said 2 weeks ago, once again, we are in a strange land. Everything has been shaken. We're looking live, not at a football game. We're looking live at a collision of covenants. We're looking at a war, a bumping of heads, and the hostility now is not even against it, also and I, but it is against me, it is against you, and we're asking, who do we trust? Our lives are so different. We ran home in the evening, or we sat around the table, and we waited for Mr. Cronkite to tell us what the facts were in the world today. We'd get goodnight, Chet, goodnight, David. We grew up, and that was the way we received that, and we would have to wait for that one time in the afternoon to hear what was going on there, and we were basically, we believed everything, because it was hard to believe that somebody was, that such evil was going on. I love media. I grew up in media. I'm a child of media. I respected those voices, and maybe one day I'll talk about voices of influence that even in that came to me, but things are different now. I cannot trust what's coming through that box. I can't trust what's coming through that radio. I can't trust what's on your driveway this morning looking up. I can't trust that right now. We've seen tragic situations in the world where crimes have been committed upon people, and you have not heard anything about it, because the people who did it, if they told that, it would hurt their narrative, and the media that we trust hides it and ignores it and acts like it. In fact, they even denigrate that right now. They've been given platitudes about a senator who was there 50 years too long. She was on the Intelligence Committee. Do you know that for over 20 years, she had a driver and a counselor that had been revealed, that was an undercover person with the Chinese government all this time? Everybody knew about it. And the story died. It was killed. Who do you trust? Who do you trust? They've covered up trafficking, abuse, perverted pedophile islands, visited by hundreds of trafficker suppliers, ringleaders. And the miraculous thing, the ringleader just died. You don't trust that. But you don't hear about one customer. Somebody was convicted, but who bought? Something's very wrong. It is a collision of covenants. And it has escalated now. And if you don't be so literal that you're looking at something and think that's it. It is being used as a thing. Law enforcement is not enforcing things. If you live down near Texas, you'd stand there and see it. $2 million a month. Courtrooms are hopeless at times. The prejudicial intimidation is rampant. Why? It is a clash in cover. There's a spirit of threat, shame, and intimidation in this culture that they will use. We've been told, you must be quiet, you must be sweet, you must be culturally relevant. I think we should be relevant. I've used the word for years, but not in the compromise concept. My use of the word relevant is that the word of God is relevant to what's going on and what we need in our lives. See, actually, the culture has taken our language. You don't think so? The culture has taken our language. It is a fixed fight out of the box. If you raise any questions, even based on Scripture today, you're a hater. You're a prejudiced person. And they have taken that thing. I think one day we'll hear a voice coming out the clouds, give me my rainbow back. We need a supernatural intervention. Civility is not the goal, by the way. Do you know you can't rid the world of evil by being civil toward it? You remember when we went back and we were spending some time in those books of Moses and in those covenant books, and God was dealing with the children of Israel, and he said to them, go into these places and in fact, King James language, and utterly destroy them. Looking at that concept in 2020, man, God's really mean, isn't it? But God knew what he was doing. Because God knew he had to have a clean line of that thread that started in the garden that day, that came, the birth line that would come when we open up Matthew and read that whole page of 1, 2, 3, 4, 27, 35, just names over and over that brought it to pass. He wanted the line, and he even said, kill the animals. Boy, that God is some mean. God was trying to save his covenant. He was trying to save his covenant right now. You can't rid the world of evil by acting civil toward it. The ideological worldview that's being promoted, even our corporations, our universities, our military, all places. And now if I say I raise my hand and I say I object to that, they'll tell us you'll lose your job. You'll lose your position. You will be demeaned. You will be embarrassed. Who said that? One of the few voices that's speaking plainly today. His name is Pastor Alan Jackson. And they've told us to be tolerant. And he said it this way. The same tolerance we're being told to cultivate has evaporated. And in the full length of that statement, he talks about, in other words, it is not coming toward you. It is being used against you. It touches every issue right now because they have taken the language. They've taken the language in this covenant fight right there. It touches, Matt Walsh said it this way. He said, nearly all prominent Christian leaders went AWOL on the gender ideology fight. That's a covenant thing. What is the covenant talking about? The man, the woman, okay? He said in the fight, he said, the church should have been out front, but it wasn't. And they're still doing the kumbaya routine. And if you understand that, that's right. It is culture clash, but it is a strong thing. With covenant, a covenant that God made with his people. But right now, the tail of this culture is wagging this rabid dog that is loose, and it's not going to get better. And we look to people and we ask for leadership. It's not there. If they can't see what's happening right now, if they can't see $200 million a day going out of our country to money laundering things, if they can't see border things going on, if they can't see what the colleges are saying, if you can't see what's going on in the streets of London right now, if you can't see the street in Sweden, do you know that in Sweden right now, the police just this week produced, there are 61 do not pass zones. They said, we can't control 61 areas, don't go there. That's a clash of covenants right now. And they're going to stick with anything that will control you. You're seeing a transfer of wealth going on right under your nose. They're trying to stop your movement. They're trying to stop your food. Anybody go to Winn-Dixie lately? They're trying to stop. How many got to go to 3 different stores to find what you want? Miss McCallum the other day asked John Kirby, the spokesman of the president, now with everything that's going on in our world right now, you know, words are important. Last words are important. Established words are important. She asked Mr. Kirby, does the president still stand by his comments that the only existential threat humanity faces, even more frightening than nuclear war, is the fact that global warming will go above 1.5 degrees in the next 20 years. That's insane. But instead of saying, well, maybe that, no. You know what he said? Absolutely. Climate change. She said, and she said, is this more frightening than nuclear war? He said, yes. That's nuts. to double down on such foolishness. To double down, that shows you the depravity. Where do you look? Where do you trust? We used to stand there and revere those positions. And we still must pray for them, but I pray for them different. Here's how I pray for them now. That the evil plans will be confounded, and that the people with the right word will get in their ear. Oh, and they'll turn that on you. Well, you just want these Christians, and we don't want. Yeah, we do. I want somebody like that speaking in the ear of somebody versus somebody else. Their worldview. My worldview doesn't mean you will bow and do exactly and go to church on Sunday and sing our songs. I understand the difference. I'm not dumb, but they will try to twist those things. Yes, I hope people that have faith will be in these positions. They'll be in the libraries. They'll be in the museums. They'll be in the classrooms. They will be in those places, right? I pray for them. Eric Metaxas said it this way. It is a spiritual war. Nothing else can account for the utter madness and evil we see right now. It is time to pray that God would miraculously intervene. Any problem with that? It is a time to attend a church that understands where we are. Look at here and leave any church that does not. But what is the real reason behind the rage? It's not red, white, and blue. You have to understand, the collision of covenants stopped dead in his tracks in the third chapter of the Bible when God spoke years before Abraham was on the scene. And he's there, and you know the thing that went on with the serpent and Eve and all of that. And he made this statement. God said, and I will put enmity, you know what enmity is? Between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. Who was her seed going to be coming down? Yeah, exactly. He said, and he shall bruise your head. The New Living Translation says it this way. I will cause hostility between you and the woman. So hostility was already named in the third chapter of the book, verse 15. The New Living says it that I will cause hostility between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. The word enmity. Another thing I've done for the last couple of years is try to take away the divide from the page that says Old Testament and New Testament. The covenant is still strong. The covenant supersedes the new covenant. I understand that. But I've heard people only read that. Romans chapter 8 says it this way, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. Are we in carnal mindedness right now? Is that a conflict there? To be carnally minded is death. This is where culture is today. The culture is carnally minded right now. The other covenant is a carnal covenant. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now watch this next verse. Because the carnal mind is what? Enmity against God. There's that word again. We were warned in the third chapter. It is there. This is where the culture clash is. This is where the collision takes place. Don't be afraid and don't be amazed. And for heaven's sakes, stop being shocked. My God. It's going to get more nuts than what you're seeing now. Linda has a go-to saying a lot of times after we've been watching something. I just can't believe it. I just can't believe it. She'll come in with her phone if she's, I just can't. Did you hear that? I just can't believe it. Finally, one day, Tyler's in the other room and he screams, Mom, believe it. So now when she says that, I go, believe it. The carnal mind is enmity against God because it is not subject to the law of God. The lawlessness is that covenant that is clashing with God's covenant. Notice this next statement, nor can it be. You can't have a kumbaya moment and expect the blessings of the song, the blessings of the covenant, if there is something and a hostility between you and God. There is an enemy, a demonic one at that. It doesn't make sense. of what's going on except in the carnal demonic mind. I took that statement. I turned it around. Got it? All of this makes sense to the carnal demonic mind. It's the normal thing right now. So the question is, how do we stand? How do we face the threats? The shame, the intimidation, the language and the cruelty. People are being, stop being cruel. Don't be cruel. All of us on our best day, we don't deserve God's blessing. None of us do. None of us do. None of us do. He's told us through the prophet to walk humbly before him. Walking through this culture, let your voice be a little bit different. Let your smile be just a little bit different. It'll confound them. We have to be smart. If I read this right, we have to keep our minds focused and our spirit connected. Our mind must be focused on what is truth. And it starts with the base of the real covenant, the truth of the covenant that God and his love for all of us. And at the same time, now every one of us will say, oh, I believe all of that stuff. But the fight is keeping our spirit connected to it. Because we're okay right now. We all feel kind of good right now. And we're all smiling, but all of us, when we're alone by ourselves, we get beat up and we get bombarded. Be encouraged today. The only answer is the word in our hearts. How important is this? David knew in Psalm 119. This is how David kept his mind focused and his spirit connected when he said, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." There is a collision of covenants because the opposition does not have the word of God. It is the carnal word of the demonic. What about dealing with our minds in such difficult times? Boy, that's a real bad. We all face these things. I don't know about you, man. I'm okay right now, but there might be a point in time this week or maybe in the night something's going to start thundering in my ear to discourage me. And I'm going to have to say, what do I do about it? We all face those things. Isaiah warned us. He said, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is focused and stayed on you." Why? Because he trusts in you. The connotation there is that I can put my weight around God. Amen. Joshua said it this way when he moved into the big chair. He said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night that you may observe to do." Now, when you meditate, that's your mind and that's your spirit connection right there. "That you may observe to do according to all that was written therein." Then notice what has to, we want the last line without the line above it. "And then you will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success." Which brings me back to the struggle I had with this message. About a year and a half ago, I did a full message on this chapter I'm getting ready to go. And I went back and forth with Linda on it. I said, you know, I'm having trouble. And I keep coming back to it because it's a landmark in me. Okay? It's a landmark. It is a go-to. It's almost like what do they call it? The factory settings. It's the default setting on me. And I find myself, I all roads connect for me. All of us have scriptures like that, and we should. But I find myself falling back on probably my favorite chapter in scripture. And I think there's a lot to be said about it. Number one, it's the first chapter. I think that's important. The first word there. It's I believe this. It's what I hold on to. Am I good at all of it? No, I'm working on it. I'm just telling you now. But this word is my default setting in my spirit. And very likely, David remembered the words that when Joshua said, "That you shall meditate on it day and night," when he brought us to my favorite chapter. But we're talking about a collision that's going on. You know, the hymn says, "When all around my soul gives way." And I find chapter 1, verse 1 of Psalm 1, a worldview moment. Here's a worldview moment right here. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Hold that up right there, baby. The NIV says it this way. Blessed is the one. Now listen to this statement, the NIV. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. Are you seeing alliances today? The NIV says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, nor stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in a company of mockers. If you're sitting at a table and they're talking about somebody at that table, when you get up, they're talking about you. Be careful where you're seated. The New Living says, New Living is a little more sweet. It says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. I don't know. I'm Old Testament, though. Who walks in step with evil? I can preach that. The other one's too happy. That person is blessed even in the midst of a covenant collision. You see, the very first word that David writes, the first word you see is the word what? Blessed. By the way, it is also the first word that Jesus used with his great sermon in Matthew 5. The very first word. So whoever said God's here to beat you up and beat your brains out, the very first thing out of David's mouth, blessed. You got all those 150 chapters there. The first thing he wants to know is blessed. The final thing he lets you know, praise ye the Lord. Blessed. You know, there are 82 references in the scripture of blessed are. God specializes in blessing. I'm in my favorite chapter, so bear with me. Psalm 1, verse 2, in the New English translation. Instead, he finds pleasure. That means his delight, his peace, his rest, his success, his fellowship. He finds pleasure in obeying the Lord's commands. Now you remember, do you remember I told you David no doubt was influenced by the writing of Joshua about the meditating day and night? He meditates. This means to point to fix our minds on his commands day and night. If you want to be collision proof, you got to study the book. You got to find a delight in it and a meditate. The book is not there for just you to get a little memory verse to feel good for your day. You know, you do just as well as what they would say. Today's the best day of your life or whatever. Those little things they'd make up. First day of the rest of your life. Or the greatest one in the 70s. Love means you never have to say you're sorry. Now, that's dumb. I tell you what. If you live with somebody else, you know that ain't true. So we need this word in us, fixed in us. We're not looking for that, okay? He meditates at his commands. Muse on it. Chew on it. Verse 3 in the NIV. That person who does that is what we're saying, is like a tree planted. And the concept is the roots are deep by streams of water. In some of that crazy storm, Linda has one little cute little plant. Everything else is dead. But she's got one little cute little plant out by the front door. And it's got little happy flowers on it. And she speaks to it as she comes in. It just came out of nowhere, you know, and it doesn't match anything else anywhere. But we're not touching it. It's cute. It's valiant. It's standing there. And all of a sudden, that wind was blowing. And it was horrible the other night. And I looked out there and I could hear things. And all of a sudden, it was over. And I could see its little roots hanging up out of there like that. I said, Linda, I think your baby's gone. I'm not quite sure. Oh no. But I came out the next morning and that little fella had pulled himself back down. And this morning I left the church and it was like, this is the day. And it was like, happy. A person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which brings forth its fruit in its season. His leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. All right, Paul bounced off of that in Colossians 2, where he said we are to be rooted and grounded in Christ. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to strengthen you in the covenant. Strengthen you in the promise God made to us. Verses 4 through 6, and now I'm going to read it in the New Living. But not the wicked. Sometimes the only comfort you'll have in this season is going to know this doesn't end well for them. Now, you're not called to stand out on Canal Street and do that. You're not called to do that. God can handle it by himself. You just get some popcorn and sit on the sideline and see what happens. Their future is not good. And then David used, it was almost a sarcastic, denigrating thing. And he's doing it in a way to take the mystery out of the evil, okay? Because we get so afraid and like it can't be stopped. And David says, here's the wicked. They're like worse. He didn't say just chaff, worthless chaff. Scattered by wind. Notice worthless, scattered. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. And sinners will have no place among the godly. Maybe we haven't talked about the fact there is going to be a heaven. We only want to hear about that. But there will be a hell also. By the way, don't worry. God didn't make heaven for you. Whenever old preacher, I mean hell for you. Linda looked at me. Linda went, ah! One old preacher friend says, hell's not for you. He said, if you want to go to hell, you're going to have to go uphill. You got to work for it. You got to put your fist in God's face. They'll be condemned. And notice this, sinners will have no place with the godly. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Remember that? For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked, that other covenant, leads to destruction. The New King James says, the way of the ungodly will perish. So what's my takeaway for you this morning in our covenant clash? I know I've been a fire hydrant with you, and I understand that. I apologize for it, but I just didn't think there's anything I wanted to stop. But what's our thoughts as we walk out? Can I just encourage you? Don't be overwhelmed by what you see now. Don't be overwhelmed by it. Be strong. You got to know if you spent those years in captivity and you think everything's okay, but you turn the corner and there's a sea in front of you. And all of a sudden, you're hearing a boogity, boogity, boogity thing and the thundering of herds and chariots coming behind you. Don't you think there might have been a point in time and say, wait, somebody got something wrong here. And there you are. It looked hopeless. God's man stands up and said, you see that enemy? Watch him. Soon you won't see him. And the miraculous. I've seen people, smart people, degrade that story. Well, we do know that there were certain times of the year that the way the wind blew, the water was quite shallow, and they were able to walk through 10, 12 inches of water and get to the other side. We don't see anything of God opening that up. Well, I'll take that then. I believe that. Amen. Praise God. Yes. Because God drowned a whole army in 12 inches of water. Either way you cut it, God did it. Be encouraged. The Lord watches over the path, the covenant of the godly. By the way, when he made the covenant, it wasn't for him. All he had to do was put his right hand up and say, so help me, me. And there it was. There is a conflict going on, but don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And regarding the collision with the covenant of God, just know this, as long as we're on this planet, the Christian faith, the teachings of Jesus Christ, the teachings of the covenant will be offensive to every culture at some point. And if we believe in the authority of God's word, even the shift of public opinion should not matter. I have a breaking news report for you right now. Although the evil power was already broken at Calvary, it was done then, For us, though, this culture class, this covenant collision will be the rock in our shoe, the children of covenant here. It will never be solved on this planet until he splits the eastern sky. So in the meantime, we keep speaking, we keep praying. And according to Philippians chapter 2, it's going to happen, because Philippians chapter 2 says, when that happens, the debate is over. And Philippians 2 verse 10 says it this way, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess the same God who spoke about the enmity in Genesis 3. I tied it up in a nice package. There it is. And until we see supernatural intervention, I think that Eric Metaxas says we need to see something supernatural. I agree. Stay grounded. David could have said so many other things, as I've told you many times. But the most important thought was the blessing of God. And it was put there for a reason. So we must stand and say these words, read them over and over, sing these songs of faith inside of us. This connects to everything. This will keep us. This will sustain us. And under similar distress, Jeremiah, even after knowing everything that went on, Jeremiah, I told you how I thought that David played off of Joshua's words. I see Jeremiah playing off David's words in Jeremiah 17. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. One translation says, whose confidence is in the Lord and the covenant of the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its root by the river. He will not fear even when the heat comes. His leaf will be green and he will not be anxious even in a time of drought. This is a time of drought right now. The blessings of God will still be on us. The anointing will be. Get it down in here. This word is relevant. You are looking live. You're looking live as it's happening before your eyes. There will always be a collision of covenants, but we can be ready, which brings me to next week that simply says, don't quit now. Amen. Stand to your feet.